Get a woman to talk clothes, and this is for long.
Second, I would say, offline recording, because
yes, well, when we see each other face to face with Arthur, and I hope that very soon there's going to be three of us seeing each other
in a month's time.
In a month's time, correct.
So, how are you, Daniil?
Oh, I'm splendid since I'm home for several days. I am to be back in Petrozavodsk on the 5th of May, so now I have three days to prepare for my exams. This evening is the last evening without preparations. The following 3 days will be very busy for me.
Well, we are with you, so...
morally, spiritually.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, let's get it started.
Yeah, that's good. I don't really have any introduction. Do you have an introduction?
Neither do we, I suppose.
let's improvise.
Okay, I can.
Yeah, I said yeah. For the first time.
Yay!
But this is going to be absolutely rubbish. I think. Okay, she is the. Like that.
You can just describe her. She is by your side.
She is
quite short, dark haired,
very charming, very enthusiastic, and she's landish.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
Okay. For the beginner, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
All right. And he is. Probably busy studying today, but he's found time to be with us, and he's Daniil.
Yay.
So, and me.
Brawl erupts in Venezuelan parliament. The members of government and opposition collided in what Nicolas Maduro, the recently elected president, called a crossing of fists. The word is that the fight was provoked by the opposition, who allegedly shouted fascist at the government and unfolded a banner which read parliamentary coup. However, the government legislators attacked first. It was pure mayhem. The tables with laptops were overhauled, and men with fists and chairs and whatnot threw themselves at one another. This all, however, was just a symptom of a deeper problem. Prior to the brawl, the government passed legislation that forbade the opposition to speak in parliament until they accept Maduro as a president. Their own candidate, Enrique Capriles, who claims his vote was stolen, was defeated only by 1.5 percentage points. Given that Maduro was Hugo Chavez's chosen successor, these figures show that even after 14 years of socialist rule, Venezuela is still divided by half.
That time when you always remind me of our Duma, of those people shouting and...
throwing chairs and
yes.
laptops at each other.
I never saw anything thrown at any other in comparison to the Venezuelan parliament. Our gentlemen are quite quiet. The reason for that was profound, because our Duma would never forbid the opposition to speak against the ruling party or the acting president. So, I suppose the Hispanic scolding character or manner has to do with that.
I remember that he wanted to, how do you call it, embalm? Yeah, embalm? The Chavez, when he died, they wanted to put him in a mausoleum.
But they didn't.
Because his body was already
too bad.
I suppose since only half of the population supported Chavez's candidate, the people would be against his bombed body lying somewhere.
But there were still, there were like crowds of people who came, you know, to say goodbye to Chavez.
No, it was shot by the news agencies as a great congregation of people, but in fact there might have been, well, only a few thousands of people.
Oh, this just reminds me of our dear Kim Jong-un and his ways of photoshopping the ships and adding more people to his army. Others, yeah. So what was it? Embalmment?
I don't understand that. The person's gone.
Yeah.
That's it. Why would you want to keep his body?
To attract tourists.
But why would tourists want to see that? I mean, it's not about this person. It's just the body. It's just a shell, empty shell. Why would it be interesting to see?
Well, he's like a famous person who changed the history, like Lenin.
Just look at his picture.
Well, for example, if you had a choice, see the picture of that person. And the real body, yeah, that used to contain his soul.
I would still prefer to see the picture. It would be that creepy, I mean.
Right?
It wouldn't be that creepy. When you see a dead person being dead for, like, I don't know, 50 years.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, like, a dead person?
I'm not interested. Dead? Yes, I did. I have. It was not a very pleasant experience. Uh-huh. So I don't really want to see death. And I don't really understand this worshipping dead people thing.
Mm-hmm.
When they
don't worship a dead person. They worship what he symbolizes.
So
the Christians have worshipped a dead person for 2,000 years.
Yeah, they still continue to worship him.
You mean what is that called? The cloth where Jesus was wrapped. How's that?
Yes, the Turin something.
The Turin, yes.
The Turin cloth, I believe.
I'm not attracted to see the cloth. They say there's this piece of wood that cross was made of. You can find it in many churches around the world. And you can just visit this church and worship this piece of wood.
Well, I agree with Daniel that this is a good way to attract tourists.
This is a good way.
Yes, yeah.
Let's stop at this in order not to deepen into conspiracy theories and religion.
But I wonder about dead people. Have you ever seen a dead person?
Yes, I have. Twice or thrice seen a dead person. One time it was my grandmother. The second time it was my great-grandmother, and the third time, I don't remember.
I understand that it's just a dead person, yeah, there's nothing to it, but I still can't, get rid of that kind of a feeling of awe and kind of, you know, fright, maybe.
I do have this feeling too,
mm-hmm.
and I don't like this feeling.
No.
That's why I don't like seeing dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's move on to something more positive.
Okay.
Like zombies, for example.
Like zombies?
Like zombies. Like zombies, do we?
I think that if it was a dead body with a prospect of turning into zombies,
exactly.
You would be actually
be
delighted.
So much more exciting. Like Lenin zombie.
Lenin zombie?
Lenin
zombie.
Fantastic! That would be something I would like to see.
Yeah, and like the father of Kim Jong Un, Kim Jong Il. That would be something. Yes, that would be After that, I would die.
I would be curious to see them. That's the point. I wouldn't be experiencing this awe feeling or, as you said, this fright. I would be curious to see Lenin zombie.
Well, he wouldn't do much. He would. He would just.
Doesn't matter. He would be able to.
Just the mere fact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Europe's environmental specialists and organizations have warned that cities around Europe may have to erect profound flood barriers as climate change takes hold and leads to the danger of much more destructive storms, floods, heavy rainfall, and high sea levels. The repercussions of climate change will be so far-reaching across the continent that farmers may have to cultivate new crops. For example, there is now less rainfall in southern Europe, where much of Europe's agriculture is focused, and more rainfall in northern Europe, where it gives rise to floods. The strikes of nature entail exorbitant expenses. The flood of 2005 cost almost 400 million euro in damage. According to the European Environment Agency, half of the 32 member countries of these organizations still lack plans to adapt to the effects of global warming, while others only have begun to take action. It testifies to Europe's total and critical vulnerability against the rage of the elements.
Do we do anything, to prevent global warming in Russia?
Oh, I don't think so.
I think it's mostly just Europe, actually.
As far as I know, Russia is one of the parties to Kyoto Protocol, and this protocol.
I know that the USA is not there.
Yes, the USA is not there, but well, they do what they will. This Kyoto Protocol obliges a country to reduce carbon emissions, but the scientists say that these measures are not very efficient because. The carbon emissions increase faster than countries cut them.
I like those people who actually deny the fact of global warming. They say that it is conspiracy theory.
I think it's mainly because it's quite fashionable today to talk about global warming.
Oh.
So you just start thinking whether it's just too much fuss about nothing, you know.
But there are still facts. As Daniel said, there are flaws,
Yes, there are facts. Those who say that global warming is absurd, they should see the figures. They should travel to the Arctic Ocean and see how the ice had reduced.
Is it possible to somehow reduce the effects of global warming?
Well, I suppose this tendency is quite imminent, I fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's not profitable to lay aside the coal and oil. Countries have atom energy, and they have these non-exhaustible sources of energy like wind and sun and even tides, but this all is not profitable, and the world, not only Russia, the world is addicted to oil and coal, so this global warming will just increase its pace.
It's good that we will not see it. the real effects.
Why? We will see it because something terrible is believed to happen in 30 or 40 years. Well, I am planning to be living.
Is it going to be some kind of a disaster type of thing or what? You are scaring me.
Well, not as disastrous as it was shown in the disaster movies, but quite damaging for the economies of Europe and USA and Russia and the whole world.
Well, if you take the movies, everything just happens in the United States, so I think that we have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. It'll all start with Hollywood.
Yeah, and
California. They usually are the ones who get
injured
first.
I thought that it's New York all the time.
No,
you see
not
a statue.
Have you seen 2012? It started in California, Los Angeles.
Mm. Just it seems that every time that they make those type of disaster movies, the first thing that goes down is the Statue of Liberty
because it's so dramatic.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
the whole everything.
Oh yeah.
Goes.
Well, it's like like the symbol of the United States.
The symbol of life.
Oh, yeah, sure. Liberty. Of everything that is so
everything.
Dear
about life. Because they don't really know whether there is life outside the United States.
No, of course not.
It is believed, but nobody really seen it.
And
being sarcastic today about the United States. Sorry, you guys. If you are from this wonderful country and listening to us, we love you.
Yeah, we do. Right now, you can buy a T-shirt, or a shirt actually, that can be worn for 100 days without washing. The creators of Wool and Prince are claiming that you can wear their wool shirts for days on end without them wrinkling, smelling, or showing any dirt. The material for the shirts is woven out of fine wool thread. The shirts are $98 each, which might be worth it if there's really no dry cleaning or washing needed for months at a time. But there's got to be something unhygienic about wearing a shirt hundreds of times without washing, isn't there?
So, okay, I can understand the lack of smell, yeah, like maybe it can absorb some microbes or whatever, but what about the
showing any dirt?
The dirt, yeah, if you spill coffee on your shirt, doesn't it get dirty?
And until the last two sentences about the cost and the unhygienic nature of this shirt, and this was the shirt of my dream.
I thought so. That would probably be a fantastic choice for men.
Because I hate grooming, everything from combing my hair to washing my clothes.
But I wonder, why did they start this thing with the shirt? Why not?
Oh yeah,
but it's just this psychological thing. Would you be able to wear one shirt for 100 days, not even thinking of washing it?
Well, not me. I think Daniel, what do you think? I think that for men it's simple. For us maybe
I can't imagine. even if it shows no signs of dirt and smell, it's just psychological.
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to wash it after 2 days, no?
I suppose we men are waiting impatiently till something like this emerges on the market.
It's just so trivial. It's just clothes.
I have already started to save money.
For what? For the shirt?
For the shirt!
Okay.
But I don't agree with Daniel. I think men are really more preoccupied with what they wear than we think.
No, they are not.
Fashion guys. On the streets, there are those trying on different jeans and t-shirts in the stores. They really think about clothes. They wouldn't want to wear just one t-shirt for 100 days. Well, they would want to have different colors, different designs.
Well, I think that just a small part of those men are actually...
They're not men.
And we speak about a very small percentage of men who are heterosexual, who are actually who care about what they wear.
Okay.
Before I start to read it, I should warn our listeners of the obscene language, one unit of obscene language that will be met. Labor legislation in Russia doesn't let the employer fire irresponsible and fraudulent employees without compensation, which they don't deserve at all. Maxim Faudin, one of the co-founders of an online store, wikimart.ru, dismissed in quite a radical and emotional way a logistics specialist who had done 60,000 rubles of financial damage to the fledgling company. The enraged employer left a mark in his employment history, reading, "Fucking hired." He believes that no enterprise will ever hire an employee with such an employment history. This case, and the likes of it, reveal the fact about the Russian labor legislation and legislative system in total. It is archaic. If the hired employee manages to collect certain documents, the court will not hear the employer, because in most Russian companies, business communication is carried out informally, that is, through email and Skype. This article in the website of the Russian weekly magazine Kommersant attracted my attention because of this word. Of course, it wasn't written in full, but it was quite understandable.
Yeah, I already start wondering whether the F word is obscene, because it's so frequent nowadays. They should probably put it in some other category already.
It's a very universal word.
Yes, exactly. It has a lot of different meanings and can be used practically in every situation, starting from the very good one.
So, and this is why I believe I wouldn't want to work at some company. Yes,
one of the million reasons.
Yes, the discouraging from ever having a job continues. No, this word off that is in office, it really scares me. Off life and off joy, off everything you love.
Trouble is hard, and now science confirms it. A new study shows that facial hair says a lot about a man.
Yoo-hoo!
Yay!
Yeah, because I have this application on my iPad, it can sort the news that you like, so it can learn from your likes and dislikes. And right now, like at the very top of the list is actually beard. There are not too many.
A very apt student, I would say.
Yeah. A new study shows that facial hair says a lot about a man, and that attractiveness peaks at the heavy stubble phase. Researchers photographed 10 men at 4 stages of beard growth. First was clean-shaven, then 5-day light stubble, then 10-day heavy stubble, and fully bearded.
When does the fully bearded stage come? After 10 days? Or it depends on the...
Was an Ernest Hemingway or Abraham Lincoln or Karl Marx?
How long do you have to wait till you get like
till you can't see the skin?
Yes.
Well, the most part of my skin can be seen because my beard only takes hold of the lower part of my face. It gets me upset because it doesn't rise. I talk to her, I speak to her, I say, rise, my dear, but it wouldn't. I suppose that in the middle of June, after I return from St. Petersburg, I will shave my beard in order... in order to let it grow again,
but
thicker and prettier than ever.
Do you know that it doesn't help?
Yes, it does.
It doesn't. The only thing that helps grow a fantastic thick beard is to grow it. Never shave it.
To worship it.
That's the only
thing. It doesn't grow. I have grown it for 2 months and it didn't grow a centimeter. If I clean shave my face, the new stubble will grow again by the amount of centimeters I want it to grow.
So what's your goal in centimeters?
In centimeters.
I don't know. I'll let it grow as it wishes.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you clean shaved? Why do you think that this time is going to work?
Exactly. That's what.
It's like
because the last time it worked, it did work. I clean shaved and my next beard was awesome, but then I was compelled to cut it by half.
So every time you clean shave your beard, so the next time it grows a little bit longer.
Yes, because the hair.
What's the case? <Okay. laughs> You never heard of us. So how many times will you have to clean shave your beard till you get?
The Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, for example.
Because I will explain, the hair you cut, it doesn't grow longer. It stays cut, the hair you cut by half. But if I cut it for good, it will grow again. It will rise again in full might.
So that's the health science.
Yeah.
Beardology.
Beardology.
Yes. I'm a bachelor in beardology and I'm going for a master. And then maybe a doctor by my 40.
HD in beardology.
Yeah, it's the highest level.
There is theory and practice.
Yeah.
The theory is to know how facial hair grows, what was its fathers, and how to make the beard of your dream come true.
that's actually like a license to print money, because you can write a book, a manual, how to grow a beard of your dreams, and then we'll...
I wonder, is moustache included in beardology, or is it a completely different branch?
Well, I think it's a bit different, because you don't need a long moustache, it's not the point.
It depends
on the shape, actually. Well, yeah, I agree with you, but still, I think it's different. It has to be like a different part of this, different size.
But it's still connected, interrelated. Let's ask our
By
expert.
Proximity, I think, yes.
Is moustache included, Daniel?
You're not a fan of moustaches.
Yeah, actually, I grew a moustache in my 11th grade, but it didn't look as awesome as my beard does now. But you know, in fact, I dream of my beard joining the moustache, so they will form a brilliant alliance. But they wouldn't.
I think that you have to stay just with a beard, because I have drawn already quite a lot of pictures of you. So, and if you change your facial, your facial hair looks, I will have to.
You'll have to remake.
Yes.
Redraw the pictures.
Exactly. Right now you have a certain image, yeah?
But yes, I have decided I will go for Abraham Lincoln's beard.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Approved.
We approve it. So, I already forgot what I was reading.
So, you were reading about the full...
So, yeah, there were four stages of beard growth. Yeah, that's where we stopped. There were 351 women and 177 heterosexual men who viewed the photos of these bearded men and rated each phase for attractiveness, masculinity, health, and parenting ability, actually. I don't know how can you decide, looking at the bearded man, whether he's a good parent or not.
I know how. The longer your beard grows, the healthier your children grow.
How's Why? That connected?
Well, it's just a guess.
It's an educated guess.
It's something I want to believe in.
Okay, maybe it's because they look like Santa, or I don't know, like some kind of associations, or maybe that a man is so preoccupied with his children that he doesn't have time to shave his beard. Is that the reason? No, I'm trying to find a logic here.
I think that is absolutely not logical, because there are some men who have very weak facial hair, but still can be good fathers.
Yeah, that's strange.
I mean, imagine the drama of this man who really wants to have a good Abraham Lincoln beard.
So what were the results of the study?
Oh, yeah. Women ranked heavily stubbed faces as the most attractive. So it's 10-day heavy stubble. Participants said that the clean-shaven men looked about as healthy and attractive as those with a full beard, but rated the bearded men higher for perceiving parenting skills. Actually, yeah, if you have a beard, you are considered a good parent. Light stubble got the short end of the stick, garnering low scores across the board from both men and women. Stubble conveys maturity, they say, and manliness, and with less of the macho aggressiveness implied by a full beard. So,
do you like bearded men?
Honestly. Very honestly. I can close my ears.
No. I think that I quite like them, because when you look at a person, a man who's well shaved, doesn't have any facial hair, don't really look that, you know, handsome. But for example, my brother does have a beard, like the Neo, I guess, and it looks attractive. It does make a man look more handsome.
I think it depends on the type of beard and the surface, the amount of surface on the face it occupies.
Yeah,
because some men have like half of their face is beard.
Yeah.
That's not really cool. But
well, of course, I think that it has to be taken care of. And you know, but a heavy beard, like a very a big one. I don't really find it attractive. It looks like, you know, those American Harley Davidson type of men. But yeah, like it's written here like heavy stubble, or like small. For example, like my brother's or Daniel's beard. It's okay.
Okay.
It's nice. Okay.
See, Daniel.
Yeah, yeah.
You're attractive.
Yeah, it's confirmed. Yes.
I suppose in the future we will have a distinct rubric for beard.
Beardology.
We already have it.
We have North Korea, beard, and zombie.
And zombie.
Our favorite topics ever.
The distinctive features of our podcast. One dish will represent North Korea,
uh-huh.
I will represent beard, and Asa will represent the zombies.
I see that we have to work in the direction of beardology. You have to think about it, Daniel.
I already have three directions, so would you be so kind as to take it? Because, you know, I adore it when women talk about beers.
Okay, I will. Because right now I have news coming to my news application. There's not a lot of news concerning beers, but I will try. I will try to.
That would be surprising if someone who doesn't know about your beard affection,
mm-hmm.
just starts using your iPad and sees lots of news about beer.
What's wrong with that person?
Yeah,
what's wrong with that girl?
I didn't know about this. Yeah, she's something.
It's crazy about beards. Or does she want to grow one?
Why is she that interested in beards? let's keep it a secret. Don't tell anyone.
You should see my smile now.
Your smile. Actually, yes, I promise that every week I'm going to find you a piece of news about beards. It's going to be our regular feature from now on. I think what's left is The Adventures of Kim Jong-un, the brilliant comrade. Part 8. Oh, I'm getting tired of it. I think that very soon it's going to come to an end.
No.
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 A bit boring for me. When there were, you know, news about Kim Jong-un and about North Korea, I was so inspired, and right now he, you know, doesn't really show up in the news.
I fully support you with the idea of ending Kim Jong-un's adventures, because today I saw a little piece of news that the title of which said North Korea is cooling.
Is cooling?
Yes, it is. They ceased to make threats, and they have comprised a list of conditions for talks, for peace negotiations. Not
they're
peace, but just for negotiations.
They're pussies. That's who they are. I'm losing all the respect that I had for North Korea and Kim Jong-un. So I think that we're going to end it very soon.
Some new arc has to be invented.
Yes, I will have to come up with a different story.
It could be me.
You with your beard.
Yes, the adventures of a bearded man in a beardless world.
So, The Adventures of Kim Jong-un, the brilliant comrade, part 8. Are you an IT specialist from Korea? Asked a tall blonde man wearing glasses. He wanted... Why Kim Jong-un's face looked so familiar to him? I have already seen that fatty, the man said to himself. Of course, because of his American upbringing that completely twisted his understanding of what is truly great in this world, he could not comprehend what a godlike creature was standing in front of him. And if he could, he would probably not survive the sheer joy a man must feel in the presence of the almighty supreme leader. But he was an American, born and raised, and thus defective. Kim Jong-un understood that. Besides, he had a part to play. Sure, buddy, he smiled. Those geeky Asians, thought the tall man. When will I ever see an office full of Caucasian geniuses? So started Kim Jong-un's American life, under the name of You're So Fat. Well, until the moment... What? until the moment he rescued his wife. To say the truth, he did not really care about her. I mean, you could have substituted her with any other North Korean woman, he would know the difference. But the principles sometimes play an important role in wacko countries with nutjob dictators. Kim did not waste time enjoying the local attractions. He telephoned regularly to his well-fed generals and ordered them to keep their heads down and lay low for a while. That was a good idea after that bastard twin of his had tried to bomb the whole world. Good thing the generals tied him up in time and substituted with a new one. The general look-alikeness is one big advantage of Asian countries that make Kim Jong-un's work much, much easier. The new twin was a quieter type whose thoughts were mostly focused on gastronomy. But nobody heard what happened to the previous one. Rumors have it he's somewhere in a sideboard now, drawing diagrams and charts on white walls and writing book about how he planned to bring down the world to its knees, which he revealed will be called How to Almost Destroy the World in 10 Days, Practical Manual. Kim knew exactly where his sweetheart was. As a glorious son of an even more glorious leader of North Korea, he could not but have inherited certain abilities, including telepathy. So he planned the kidnapping of his kidnapped wife, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible style. He suspected he would probably not pull off the whole hanging from the roof on a piece of string part, and decided to stick with the crawling in the darkness and sneaking in under the veil of the night. You don't know it yet, and most likely that you don't, but you have always suspected it, because it's written all over his face. Kim Jong-un is a trained ninja, good at basketball as well as martial arts. All monks of China and Tibet know him, and after Kim Jong-un got his belt, his old master escaped to live somewhere high in the mountains just to rule out the possibility of ever meeting him again. So on that decisive night, the Supreme Leader consumed his chicken nuggets, thinking that soon the times of a nourishing American cuisine will be in past. He put on his ninja suit and vanished into the night. To be continued. You remember last time we wanted to have this contact information? Please write to us in the beginning.
In the beginning of the podcast, not at the end of it.
Yes.
Let's put it next time from the beginning, because...
You think that I'll remember it?
I will remind you.
All right. Says who?
Says me.
Okay.
All right, dear listeners, we love you.
That's it.
Happy, like...
What did you say yesterday? You celebrate the fact that
you work as dogs all year long. Yes. So you have this special Labor Day to celebrate your dog's life. But...
Happy Labor Day, everyone!
Happy Labor Day, yeah. If you still like us, after all this what, rubbish, you can write to us and visit our website, which is
www.linguistof.ru.
Those of you who don't have beads, please don't go, we love you too.
Talk to you next
week. Yeah, till next week.
Goodbye.